Let's pray. Oh Lord, we come this morning seeking to worship you, to praise your holy name. I ask that the words of my mouth would be sweet and pleasing to your ears, and that our hearts will be open to the words you have us hear. Amen. There was a young family that tried to have children, and it took them some time to have children. But once they did, they had 4 children within 4 years. God bless them. And when the children were still little, they were stars at the Christmas pageant. And here are the mother's words to describe the production. My daughter was playing Mary. 2 of my sons were shepherd, and my youngest son was a wise man. This was their moment to shine. My 5-year-old shepherd had practiced his line, "We found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." But he was nervous and said, "They found the baby wrapped in wrinkled clothes." My 4-year-old, playing the part of Mary, said, "That's not wrinkled clothes, it's dirty, rotten clothes." And then a wrestling match broke out between the two. An angel was trying to get them separated, and in the melee, she bent her halo and lost a wing. And finally, the other son stepped forward wearing a bathrobe and a paper crown and said, "We are the 3 wise men, and we're bringing gifts of gold, common sense, and fur." The congregation dissolved into laughter, and the pageant got a standing ovation. "I've never enjoyed a Christmas program as much as this one," laughed the preacher, wiping tears from his eyes. "For the rest of my life, I'll never hear the Christmas story without thinking of gold, common sense, and fur." Please turn to our reading for this morning, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with them. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where was the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You know, the story of the wise men is shrouded in mystery. From tradition, we think we know all the facts and details. But as we study the Bible, we find there's a lot of questions we can't answer about the wise men from the biblical text. How many were there? As Sheila said, we don't know. Where did they come from? We don't know. How long did their journey take? We don't know. They seem to show up mysteriously, and just as mysteriously, they're gone. You know, we get our word magician from the Greek word magi. But these magi were not magicians. They could not fool Penn and Teller. They were not experts at sleight of hand, and they pulled no rabbits out of their hats. Instead, the word magi referred to those who were experts in philosophy, medicine, and natural science. How many of you say, hey, Google, what's the... In biblical times, they couldn't talk to their friend Google. Instead, they looked to the magi to come up with the answer. These magi were literally walking encyclopedias. Their one job was to learn, 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 so that when called upon by their king or queen, they would give the appropriate answer to their question. Someone suggested that if magi existed today, they would be astronomers, not astrologers. They were scientists, not soothsayers. Now, as we read the narrative, there are three things that I really want to stress about our passage today. The first is that their journey was a journey of faith. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. Now, this description of the star doesn't suggest that it moved ahead of them like we picture that they followed the star. And as our Christmas cards portray it, like a UFO. The Magi reported in verse 2, we saw his star in the east. Not, we see his star. It's a past tense statement. So having seen his star, they set forth on a journey that will take them far from home, but to the one they sought. The Greek word for star means radiance or bright light. Some have suggested that this wasn't a literal astronomical star, but rather what the Bible calls the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, a radiant glowing light which was a visible manifestation of God in the natural world. And then we are told in verse 9 that a star appeared once again to the Magi, and it stopped over the house where the young child now lived. Just think for a moment and ask yourself the question, what would prompt someone to leave their comfort and security of their homes and to go on a long and dangerous journey without any guarantee that they would find what they were looking for? Romance? Maybe. Wealth? Maybe. But faith? Yes, my friends, faith. These magi were men of faith. Look again at their insight and full and probing question. Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? They didn't ask, has a king been born? There was absolutely no doubt in their use of language that they knew he had been born. They had faith that this baby existed and that he was alive. and that he was no ordinary king. And they gave up everything in a quest to find him. Think for a minute about their neighbor's reaction as they're preparing their journey. Are you going on a journey? Yes. Where are you going? We don't know. How far is it? We don't know that either. How long are you going to be gone? We don't know. And you imagine the neighbors thinking, boy, for wise men, you sure don't know much, do you? But that was their journey of faith. But it wasn't one of blind faith. I believe they got their information from Old Testament prophets. As men of learning, they would have come across the Jewish Old Testament prophets and been fully aware of them. Remember, a wise man's journey is one of faith, and God's journeys always involve faith. People of faith have been willing to respond to the challenges of the unknown over and over throughout history. And like those wise men of old, faith is still the key ingredient to discover the living Christ in our lives today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. Anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond. Second, the wise man's journey was one of worship. When the wise men came on their journey, it was for the purpose of worship. They brought with them gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. These gifts have a lot of symbol associated with them. Gold represents wealth and is a gift fit for a king. And Jesus was the King of Kings. Frankincense is the sap of a tree that was dried and hardened. It was used as incense in the temple as part of their worship of God. Jesus was the high priest. Myrrh is a fragrant perfume that was used to anoint the dead, to embalm and preserve them. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Excuse me. The cross, not the crib, was to be the climax of his life. But there's more to worship than giving gifts of gold and frankincense or myrrh. There's more to worship than outward things, isn't there? True worship always involves sacrifice. True worship involves a great cost. There was a price to be paid for the wise men's worship. They had given themselves to a multi-year journey. Travel in those days was not comfortable. They couldn't call up their local Avis and rent a luxury car. And it was also extremely dangerous. The wise men sacrificed their own careers to find the King of Kings and to worship him. I read of a little boy, no more than 7 years old. And after Christmas, it was time for church. He wanted to take his teddy bear, who we always called Frank. And his parents said, no, Frank is not going to church with us today. But the little boy insisted that Frank had to go, and he had to go that day. Finally, they relented. When the offering plates were passed, he put the teddy bear in the offering plate along with a few coins. And later, When he was asked about it, he simply said, "Well, the wise men said they brought, or the wise men, according to the Bible, brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I don't have any gold, and I don't know what myrrh is, so I just gave frank and sense." Sacrifice. And note two other things about their worship. First, it was humble. Verse 11 tells us they bowed down. Everyone who wants to know God must come on the same basis. Not one of us can come with our pride or on our own merit. We come to God with the same level playing field, admitting that we have sinned and that we cannot save ourselves. And, like the little boy, it was sacrificial. They opened their treasures. These magi had prepared gifts, and now there was opportunity to give those gifts. To worship is to open our treasures to God. What are your treasures? And thirdly, a wise man's journey is one of change. Verse 12 tells us, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route." Isn't it interesting that after they encountered Jesus, they could not go back the same way they came? That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. God gives everyone who follows Jesus a new beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." This change, this conversion, does not mean that Christians are perfect, but it does mean a change in direction. A London businessman told the story of a warehouse property he was selling. The building had been vacant for months and needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors, smashed the windows, and strewn trash around the interior. And as he showed a prospective buyer to the property, around the property, he took great pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, bring in a crew to correct any structural damage, and clean out the garbage. And the prospective buyer said, "Forget about the repairs. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site." When we become gods, we have a new beginning. All he wants is the site, us, and the permission to build. To build us into who, to whom he created us to be. So like the wise men, we must seek him in faith, in humility, in sacrifice, and to be willing to allow him full access to change us into the people he created us to be. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you for this reminder of worship. We pray that we will be like the wise men, coming to you in faith, sacrificially, in humility, and to allow you full access to all the nooks and crannies of our being so that we may be who you made us to be. Amen.